We're just going to hit the record button, and we got it. All right. So, here we are in this message that we've heard, you know, many times we hear the stories, the story of Aaron and Miriam coming against Moses, the people rising up and complaining. And we say, boy, those people, just the whiners and complainers, right? Just whiners and complainers. But I think it's even more than that. I think it comes from a different place than just the people. And I've heard over the last couple of weeks, Satan lying into the ears of his people, lying about illnesses and people being sick, lying about rockets and who's it from, lying with anti-Semitism going out. It just, his lies are what's rocking the world these days. And in this portion, we see Satan stepping up his game in the effort to affect the kingdom of Adonai. And he really does it the same way then as he's doing it these days. It may be wrapped in different wrapper, but it's the same tricks that he's using, the same schemes that he's using, the lies of the enemy. And we need to understand these tricks, understand that they are lies from him, so that they don't have victory in our lives. And we see examples of this within the portion. During the drash, I spoke a little bit about them. I didn't call them lies at that time, but that's what they are. And that's who they came from is Satan. So we see an example of Satan speaking out lies in Numbers 11, where the people of Israel, and then later on in 12, Aaron and Moses, were complaining and grumbling. And I believe because they were getting lies spoken into their ears from Satan. So let's look at what Israel says first, the people themselves say. We'll start with Numbers 11, starting in verse 4. The grumblers among them began to have cravings. So Bnei Israel began to wail repeatedly, saying, if we could just eat some meat, we remember the fish that we used to eat in Egypt for free. The cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. Who doesn't like garlic? But now we have no appetite. We never see anything but this manna. They say we remember. But do they remember? They said the things they got for free while they were in Egypt. Were they for free? These were just the lies and the tricks of Satan, him showing himself his true nature. The people were in a situation that was uncomfortable. They were wandering, they were going out into the desert, and maybe they didn't have the best food, but I'm going to tell you, first of all, that's not true, and I'll tell you why in a moment. But it may not have been the food that they were used to while they were in Egypt. And they were uncomfortable because they were wandering around and they had to live in their tents and in their booths. It made them susceptible to the lies of Satan. It caused rebellion among the people. They were given the manna from Adonai. Food directly from the hand of the Lord. And they thought the stuff they were getting as slaves was better. Manna from Adonai. Listen to the way manna is described. First in Numbers 11:7. Now the manna was similar to coriander seed and had an appearance like gum resin. The people went out, gathered it up, and gathered it in a handmill or ground it in a handmill, or crushed it in a mortar. They cooked it in a pot, or made it into cakes. It tasted like something made with olive oil. That doesn't sound so bad. And then we hear a little more about the manna in Exodus 16, verse 31. The house of Israel named it manna. It was like coriander seed and tasted like wafers made with honey. Tasted like olive oil. Tasted like honey. And since it was from Adonai, it was the very best of olive oil. The very best of the honey. They got tired of it fairly quickly. They got tired of it, it says. But really? They could grind it, they could crush it, they could cook it, they could bake it, they could boil it. There are a lot of different ways of making it. Now, I guess I can understand it a little bit. I hear people say, you know, we had Italian. How many times can I eat Italian? I don't understand it. Especially when they say Chinese. I've had Chinese. How many days in a row can I have Chinese? How many different ways of making Italian are there? How many different ways of making Chinese are there? What they're really saying is, I'm ungrateful to Adonai for his provisions. It's really what they're saying. It's really what it comes down to. They could have experienced this manna in a lot of different ways. They could have cooked it up and mixed it with other things. They're saying they were unhappy with their current situation, and they were unhappy with Adonai. Wow. A reasonable person would have looked around to see the situation they're really in. And it's not the greatest of situations, right? They're basically homeless. They're eating stuff that they found on the ground because Adonai provided it. But it's not slavery hard. They're now in the comforting hands of Messiah. But Satan drew their eye away from all of that. And lied to the people. You're eating the same thing over and over. You're homeless. Look at the situation you're in. And the people started to grumble. Now the ancient rabbis look at this and they gave a couple of explanations on why the people grumbled. Rashi says that the people complained about the manna because they were just tired and upset. Who wouldn't be tired and upset? So that got them grumbling. It's true. They were tired and upset. And it points out something to us. When you're tired and upset, you become susceptible to Satan's lies. You're much more easily swayed by his lies when you're tired and upset. We've all been there, right? We've all been the tired and upset, and yes, it absolutely happens. We start yelling at people, we snap at people because of the lies that come to us. Now, Rabbi Samson Raphael Hirsch, a German Orthodox Jew in the 1800s, said the people were bored. They're just walking around the desert, learning about Adonai, but they're bored. I guess they didn't have enough work like they were when they were slaves. And okay, I can understand this too. Because you know, when you're bored, your mind wanders. When you're bored, you're listening to things you shouldn't be listening to. And then you start dwelling on those things. And all of a sudden, these troubles that are being whispered into your ear get amplified. The gripes that you hear all of a sudden become real to you. And finally, Nachmanides, who was born in Spain in the late 13th century, says the issue was self-pity and lack of faith. And this could be the harshest of reasons, right, that we've heard of the three. Self-pity and lack of faith. They allowed their eyes to forget what the Lord was doing, still actively doing for them. They had the presence of Adonai there by the pillar of cloud and fire. They had the food provided for them from Adonai. But they allowed the lies of Satan to think slavery was better. Wow. They thought the rewards of slavery, and isn't that a stretch calling it a reward of slavery, was better than being in the presence of Adonai. All because they allowed themselves to listen to the lies of Satan. Because they allowed themselves to get bored. They allowed themselves to become tired and upset. Okay, maybe tired they didn't allow themselves to, but upset is kind of a choice. Bored can be a choice. You just don't want to be, you don't have to get up and go to figure out what to do next. Self-pity and lack of faith. You have a pillar of fire in front of you. That's a choice. That's a wrong choice. I can't even understand that one, but it's a choice. Maybe self-pity because they were saying, woe is me, we're just slaves, and we don't even have a master state above us anymore. Well, he actually did. His name is Yeshua, a Messiah, in Adonai. But for some reason, they didn't see it that way. They didn't see a person supplying for them. And they certainly didn't see Adonai supplying for them as he was. Crazy. We can say the people had hardship, so they heard lies. They had difficulties, and what did they try to do? They tried to deal with it themselves. They tried to do on their own. Now let's look at the next example in the portion, and that would be Aaron and Miriam. They turned to hear the lies of Satan in their ears that caused them to come against Moses. Look how they came against Moses in Numbers 12, starting in verse 1. Then Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses on account of the Cushite woman he married, because he had married a Cushite woman. They asked, has Adonai spoken only through Moses? Hasn't he also spoken through us? Adonai heard it. Boy, it's like you need to put that at the end of that verse there. Adonai heard it. Whew. Miriam and Aaron were bringing hardship to Moses. They were upset, asking Moses if Adonai was spoken only through him. But they knew the truth because they were with Moses. They knew the truth because half the time that Moses was speaking, Adonai was there. They heard where it was coming from. They knew the truth. But they heard the lies speaking into their ears. Where did these lies originate from? Look what it says in verse 1. Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses on account of the Cushite woman. A Cushite woman would be from the northern part of Africa. Darker skin, different than they were. Boy, we're just seeing Satan's hatred and bigotry come in here, really, is what's going on. And they took that hatred and bigotry and looked for a way to vent it. And they found it in Moses' leadership. What does Moses do? He actually forgives. Even after all that, he actually prayed for them. Moses took those hardships that was coming against him, and what did he do? He went to Adonai with them. He looked for the resolutions, not in himself, but in Adonai. And I believe it's because he knows that the attacks come from Satan, in reality, that's where they're based out of. He was able to forgive the people who were in front of him. How often do we get attacked by someone and our first response is, they're attacking me? But we don't fight against flesh and blood. We fight against principalities and powers of the air. They're the one, he's the one who is influencing the person in front of him. I think Moses understood this about his problems. Most people don't. In fact, I read something about problems that I think Moses also understood. And I think the thing I read said, everyone's worst problem is just as bad for them as your worst problem is for you, and vice versa. And that becomes especially true when Satan starts whispering in your ear about your problem. Your worst problem is just as bad as anybody else's worst problem. Now, we have a tendency to say, right, oh yeah, you think that's bad? Here's what happened to me. You went into the hospital and that happened to you? Here's what happened to me when I went into the hospital. Everyone's problem is the worst to you. It's absolutely true. And it becomes especially true when Satan's whispering in your ear, because that problem amplifies, that problem expands, that problem grows. But the opposite is also true. When we cast Satan out and we decide not to listen to his lies, when we elevate Adonai to be a bigger God than our problems are, then those problems look smaller. When you can compare your problem to Adonai, is that problem really big? Amen. The one who's bigger than any problem, regardless of the problem, in comparison, makes all problems look small. And if we can get that into our life, how much better would we be? And we see an example of this in Scripture. I mean, we've gone through Moses. He did it and was still able to forgive. But what about Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul? What was his life like? He did not live a bed of roses all the time. Listen to what he says his life is like. In 2 Corinthians, a lot of us know this one. Maybe we can't quote it. Maybe it's because we just don't want to, because there's so much bad going on. 2 Corinthians 11:24, starting there, a couple of verses. 5 times from the Jewish leaders I received 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I suffered shipwreck. A night and day I spent on the open sea. In my many journeys, I have been in dangers of rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the desert, dangers at sea, dangers among false brothers. In labor and hardship through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. Besides these other things, there is daily pressure on me of concern for all of Messiah's communities. I've gone through all this, and I have so many worries about you too, he's saying. Problem after problem. Big problems. Shipwrecks. Hey, when you get stoned, they don't stop stoning you until they think you're dead. That was his life. being stoned, being whipped, being caned, until they thought he was as good as dead. If someone had the right to be bitter, it's Rav Shaul. Someone had the right to hold things against people, he certainly seemed to have that right. But look what he says about his life in Philippians 4:11. I'm not saying this because I'm in need. For whatever circumstance I am in, I have learned to be content. Really? You were in open sea a day and a night and you were content? You were stoned till they thought you were dead and you were content? How could that be? But he was. Content here is being in a state of shalom and rest because Adonai is in charge. He knew he didn't have to be in charge. Adonai was in charge. And that made him content. Content doesn't mean laughing all the time. It means being comfortable because of who's in charge. Both Moses and Shaul had hardships and it took them to Adonai and gained resolutions. This contentment did not come with the resolutions, but came with the comfort of the relationship with Adonai. That's where the contentment comes from. That's where we're able to shut up Satan. They were comfortable in their situation because they did not listen to Satan, the father of lies. And lies are still the go-to trick of Satan. It's when we stop listening to Adonai and start listening to Satan that we become lost again. Because we're no longer following Adonai and understanding his words. Listen to John 8. Yeshua says this, starting in verse 43 of John 8. Why don't you understand my speech? This is Yeshua speaking. Why don't you understand my speech? Because you're not able to hear my words. You are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks lies, he is just being himself. For he is a liar and the father of lies. Now, when Yeshua says that Satan is their father, he's not saying Satan created them. He's not saying Satan's going to save them. In fact, it's still Adonai's desire to save them all. But he is saying that they joined themselves with Satan and not with Adonai, the Father, who is light and life. Verse 43 tells us why they're not able to understand the scripture, why they're not able to understand the words that Yeshua is giving them, the words of life. It says they were not able to hear his words because they were turned away from him and towards Satan. When we listen to the world, when we turn away from Adonai to the world, instead of the one who speaks out the truth, the one who speaks through the Ruach HaKodesh, that's when we're not able to hear clearly the words of truth from Adonai, from the Ruach HaKodesh. Satan always told lies, and quite honestly, he's always going to be telling lies. But he started right at the beginning. Always his trick. Genesis 3, 4, and 5. The serpent said to the woman, "You most assuredly won't die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." Right from the very start. But But here's the thing to know, remember, right now, Satan, when he lies, doesn't just speak total falsehoods. He mixes it in with partial truths. Hey, that sounds pretty good. Hey, this doesn't sound so bad. This, you know what? This might be something. It's true. Their eyes would be opened. Adam and Eve's eyes would be opened when they ate of the fruit. But it was not true that they would die, that they would not die. They were going to die. They did die. And what was the first thing Satan did before, even before he lied to Eve? Genesis 3:1. But the serpent was shrewder than any animal of the field that Adonai Elohim made. So he said to the woman, "Did God really say, 'You must not eat of all the trees of the garden'?" When we open ourselves to even listening and accepting even the start of a conversation with Satan, with our enemy, we open ourselves up to attack. And then we get slowly sucked into the lie, slowly sucked into the deception. And you don't even realize where you are anymore. Satan deceives with Scripture. Yes, he deceives with Scripture because he knows it so well. Here, there's a funny little quote from the legendary comedian and sinner W.C. Fields. Maybe you know him. Maybe you've seen his movies. If you don't know, he was a drunk and a womanizer. And he was reading the Bible one day, and someone asked him, why would he be reading the Bible? And he said, "I'm looking for loopholes." He's looking for loopholes. How to get away with doing what he's doing. If a man can study Scripture to look for loopholes in his short lifetime, how much more do you think Satan studied the Scripture looking for loopholes since his creation till now? He's an expert at the Word. We need to be experts at the Word too. At least trust the one who gave us the Word and not Satan himself. Because he will misuse the Scripture every opportunity he gets. So, you know, if you're looking for just flat-out lies from Satan, you're missing half of his tricks. He'll change just one word. He'll mispronounce one word, changing the meaning. Lying is Satan's primary weapon against Adonai's own. He uses the tactic to deceit to separate people from Elohim. We've heard these lies over and over and over again. He uses the same ones so often. There's no God. God doesn't care about you. You can't trust the Bible. There are things in there that aren't true. They're just stories. Your good works will get you into heaven. Don't worry. Just a lie of Satan, really. Yeshua's death wasn't enough to cover your sin. Oh, you sinned so hard, nothing can cover that sin. Just a lie. Even if you trust Yeshua, you're not good enough to go with Adonai. Boy, that's just... Adonai doesn't love you. And this tragedy just proves it. And boy, do we hear that one even as believers whispered in our ear so often. Why would this happen? If my faith was so strong, why would this happen now to me? Why would this happen to my family? Boy, doesn't this tragedy just prove that maybe Adonai is not there? Maybe he doesn't love me enough. Maybe I've done something to draw myself away from Adonai. When you hear these kind of things being whispered in your ear, know what you're hearing is not Adonai. What you're hearing are the lies of the enemy, the lies of Satan. Whether they're coming from within your own mind or they're coming from someone standing before you, they are his words. Now, I'm not saying that if someone's standing before you saying these words that he's or she is Satan or a demonic spirit, but they're repeating Satan's words. They're being used by a demonic spirit to cause your faith to be shaken. You have to recognize that trick of Satan. We have to be aware of it, and we have to come against it. Now, next week, I encourage you to come again because we should be here every week. But I'm going to actually do a part two on this message, and it's going to be the steps that we can take to come against the lies of Satan. I don't want to just tell you about, hey, he lies, and, you know, here's a couple of little things. We're going to go into steps that you can take in order to come against Satan. So, you know, if you see someone who's not here this week, encourage them to listen to this week's message and then to come next week, or at least to tune in for next week. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Yeshua, we just thank you that you are the truth, the way, and the light. Adonai, we can trust you. We can trust you as you came and you created. We can trust you as you sent your Son to live among us as flesh and to die for us. We can trust you as you sent the Ruach HaKodesh to be our counselor and our guide. We can trust you because you are trustworthy in all you've done. We've seen it over and over again, and therefore we've seen the proof, and therefore we can trust that it's true. We will believe in you and your words and what you say, regardless of the words that are being whispered into our ear or sometimes even shouted at us, and regardless of the circumstances that we find ourselves in. Because you are a God of love, a God of mercy, a God who will never walk away from his creation. Sometimes we feel so small, so insignificant. God is so busy, he's forgotten about me in this little corner. Never, ever happens. God is so big, so great. Never anyone slips from his hand. So, Father, we thank you that you are so big and great. And we thank you. We can use your word to come against Satan and his lies. Use our faith to come against Satan and his lies. And yes, use our fellowship with other believers to come against his faith and his lies. Father, we lift up your name and we will shout it louder than any lie that Satan could tell. And we just thank you that you and you alone are trustworthy and true. And for that, we all say, amen and amen.